Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. Thankful that God gave me another day, hallelujah, with breath in my body, clothed in my right mind. Grateful, oh, hallelujah, that he allowed me to come to you to give his word, to be a sower of the word. And I pray this morning that you hear and that it is on good ground. Hallelujah. But we cannot be just what? Hearers of the word. We got to be doers of the word. But the word tells us this morning, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Hallelujah. And I pray that you hear the word of God this morning. And I thank God that he is allowing me, sower of the word, and that it is going on good ground. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thanking God for the do-over. Let today be better than yesterday. And I just want to shout out to all of you this morning. Thank you for wishing my mother a happy birthday. Got lots of Facebook wishes for her birthday, and I am just so thankful and grateful that she is such an awesome woman of God. I was remiss yesterday, and I see that Evangelist is on this morning. Before we get started, you know, God has put it in my heart, in her line, because she had a word yesterday. And of course, we know that when someone has a word, the enemy does his best, which we will be talking about this morning in our lesson, to sweep it away. And she did push the one. I did not see it, so I missed an opportunity for her to speak. And so if she does not mind this morning opening us up in prayer and giving the word that God put on her heart on yesterday, all she needs to do is push the one on her phone so I know that she is ready to speak and to pray us in this morning. She will have to let me know if she is prepared to do that. I just need her to push the one on her phone and her line will be open. And I'm not seeing it, so I will open your line, Prophet Evangelist, and we'll just have a quick conversation because God is good like that. Hallelujah. Good morning, Evangelist.
Good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord. I can open up in prayer for you, but the word that God gave me was on yesterday, and I don't have it today. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, please open
you know
us
how
up
the Holy
in prayer.
Spirit.
Yes.
Heavenly Father.
We are.
Heavenly Father, we come unto you in the name of Jesus, giving you all the glory, honor, praise, and worship on this morning. Thanking you for the breath that you have breathed in our lungs, that we can give you praise, honor, and glory with that same breath. So we just want to thank you for the word that's going to go forth today, the basic instruction before leaving earth that is grounded and rooted in your of God, a woman of God, an awesome woman of God, a mind, hallelujah, of Christ that seeks your word day in and day out, saturated with the word of God. So we just want to receive it on today with the heart that you have given us and the ears to hear that you have given us and giving you glory, honor, praise, and worship in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I heard
amen,
the Holy Spirit
amen.
Say, move forward, move forward. Move forward
Amen.
In the Lord. Don't look
Amen.
Back. Because when you look back, you get off track. And you go through those old doors. The door that God closed, don't return to that door. Walk through that door of the threshold of the door of change on today. The door that is in front of you that you move forward in to a change in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank Amen. You know, when God says do, I do, and I'm grateful I did.
God.
Hallelujah. We are not going to look back because we don't want to get off track. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We got to move forward, y'all. We are moving forward in the word of God this morning. Thank you so much, Evangelist. If God has another word for you, just push the one and your line will be opened again. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Ah, thank you so much. We'll
God
be talking. There will be a day coming that I believe that prophetess will co-host with me on a word for God from God. I believe that is coming. I don't know when, but when it's time, God will let us both know. Hallelujah. So thank you so much, my sister in Christ, for opening us up this morning. I can't help it, y'all. I'm going to say it again. Don't
Hallelujah.
Look back because we don't want to get off track. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
What a word. What
Glory
a word.
To God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank
Glory
you, Lord.
Glory to God. Thank
you. Ooh, we give God honor. We give God glory. And we give God praise. And as always, Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Hallelujah. But we all know that our Father God is our strength and our Redeemer. We cannot do anything without him because my sister said it best. We don't want to be looking back because we don't want to get off track. Hallelujah. And I'm just telling you now, since it's in the public domain, because we're going to use that again. I'm sure we will, because that is a word. That's a preachable word right there. You know, when you look at a certain word, you're like, that's a preachable word. Don't look back. Don't look back, family. We got to keep moving forward. We don't want to get off track. I am writing that down. Hallelujah. Got to have your notebook ready all the time. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, God, for your word this morning. And let us get started. Because we're in the book of Leviticus, and we're talking about cleanliness and, you know, washing down and tearing down and doing what you got to do to get things in order and to walk in the ways of God. And this word this morning is a good word because now we're talking cleanliness. You know, what you don't set in, what you don't do, what you know, it's a lot. The one thing about Leviticus, it tells you a lot of common sense things. A lot of common sense things. You're thinking, that's common sense. But you got to stop and think. These were nomadic people. They were traveling. They were in the desert. They had to do certain things in order for hygiene to stay within the camp. They couldn't do certain things in certain places because the one thing you don't want is making people sick. And so your house travels with you. And because they hadn't gotten into any cities yet, they hadn't gone into the promised land yet. They are out in the wilderness, and they're going to be there now, coming up. We'll find out. They're going to be there for 40 years. So they got to have some rules and regulations, just like we have to have rules and regulations for our homes, for our just for our atmosphere. We need rules and regulations. It's getting ready to read some rules and regulations, and they are for a reason and a purpose. And it says this, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to him, when any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. And this shall be his uncleanliness in regard to his discharge, whether his body runs with his discharge or his body is stopped up by his discharge. It is his uncleanliness. Every bed is unclean on which he who has the discharge lies, and everything on which he sits shall be unclean. And whoever touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. He who sits on anything in which he who has the discharge set shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And he who touches the body of him charged shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And he who has the discharge spits on him who is clean, then he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Any saddle on which he who has the discharge rides, that shall be unclean. He whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until evening. He who carries any of those things shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever the one who has the discharge touches and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Even God says that you got to wash your hands, got to wash the nasty hands. That's why illness starts. It starts with our hands. You can't go out. We're not in the time of Christ. We need to wash our hands. You know, we're not walking with Jesus in the time of the apostles and the disciples. We have to wash our hands. Yes, we can pray over things. And if you have no opportunity and no place to wash your hands, then I believe that your prayers will make you clean. That's my belief. That's not what this is saying. But I believe that if there is no place to wash your hands and you must eat, then I believe that your prayers are righteous prayers and God makes your hands clean. But if you got water and soap, there is no reason you should not be using it. And even the Lord is saying, and whomever the one who has a discharge touches and has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. The vessel of earth that he who has the discharge touches shall be broken, and every vessel of wood shall be rinsed in water. And when he who has a discharge is cleansed of his discharge, then he shall count for himself 7 days for his cleansing, wash his clothes, and bathe his body in running water. Then he shall be clean. On the eighth day, he shall take for himself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and come before the Lord to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and give them to the priest. Then the priest shall offer them, the one as a sin offering and the other as a burnt offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord because of his discharge. If any man has an emission of semen, then he shall wash all his body in water and be unclean until evening. And any garment and any leather on which there is semen, it shall be washed with water and be unclean until evening. Also, when a woman lies with a man and there is an emission of semen, they shall bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Did you see that? The Lord didn't leave anything out. You know, when you go to the bathroom, when you do some things and have a discharge, you need to wash your hands. You know, and back in those days, think about it, they did not have toilet paper. So you think that through what this is saying about being clean. We just got to call it like it is. You've got to be clean in the areas. And it goes on the checklist. If a woman has a discharge, and the discharge from her body is blood, she shall be set apart 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Thing that she lies on during her impurity shall be unclean. Also, everything that she sits on shall be unclean. Whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever touches anything that she sat on shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. If anything is on her bed or on anything on which she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until evening. And if any man lies with her at all, so that her impurity is on him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and every bed on which he lies shall be unclean. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, other than at the time of her customary impurity, or if it runs beyond her usual time of impurity, all the days of her unclean discharge shall be as the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean. And I'm going to put a pin right there. As we stop and look at this word, we got to remember the woman with that blood, she was considered impure. She was considered unclean. You think this through. Unclean for 12 years. She could not be around people, could not be in the company of folks because she was considered unclean. Normally 7 days, and then you're back to normal. But in her case, 12 years. She shouldn't even been out going to see Jesus by the word of God. But when she touched that garment, she was killed immediately from her uncleanliness because her faith is what made her well. All kind of doctors, all kind of stuff, all but Jesus. And that's what we better understand. It is Jesus that changed something. But Jesus said, I did not come to what? Change the law, but to fulfill the laws of the prophet. He came to fulfill things. You know, there are certain things in these Leviticus laws that are common sense that we should be doing even today. There are certain foods that you don't need to eat because it's not good for your body, because your body cannot handle it. We got to understand that God did everything for a purpose and a reason. You know, wondering why people are sick and dying, because sometimes it's what we put into our bodies, the food that we eat. You know, you think about so much food we eat is chemically based. We got to read the labels. And when you read the labels, you're like, what is that? High fructose corn syrup. What? All kind of sugar. All kind of made up stuff. We got to understand that we got to watch this temple. And I'm speaking to myself too, because I'm just now starting to understand that certain foods are good for you and certain foods are not. You know, I love fruit, but understanding fruit will make your blood sugar go up. So you have to even be careful with how much fruit you eat, how much, you know, anything you eat. Everything should be done in moderation. But the uncleanliness of a discharge, the uncleanliness of menstruation, the uncleanliness of even having intercourse with your husband, you know, you have to be very careful about cleanliness. This is so true. As we go forth, it continues to tell us, every bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be to her as the bed of her impurity, and whatever she sits on shall be unclean as the uncleanliness of her impurity. Whoever touches those things shall be unclean. He shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. But if she is cleansed of her discharge, then she shall count for herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. And on the eighth day she shall take for herself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and bring them to the priest to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the priest shall offer the one as a sin offering, the other as a burnt offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her before the Lord for the discharge of her uncleanliness. Thus you shall separate the children of Israel from their uncleanliness, lest they die in their uncleanliness when they defile my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law for one who has a discharge, and for him who emits semen and is unclean thereby, and for her who is indisposed because of her customary impurity, and for one who has a discharge, either man or woman, and for him who lies with her who is unclean. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place, side the veil, before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering, and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash and with a linen turban. He shall be attired. These are the holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats as a sin offering, and 1 ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then Aaron shall cast lots for the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell, and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, to make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bull as the sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hand full of sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil, and he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side, and before the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil. Do it as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanliness. There shall be no man in the tabernacle of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger 7 times, cleanse it and consecrate it from the uncleanliness of the children of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, the tabernacle meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel concerning their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an inhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of meeting, shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, shall leave them there, and he shall wash his body with water in a holy place, put on his garments, come out and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make atonement for himself and for the people. The fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar, and he who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterwards he may come into the camp. The bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp, and they shall burn in their fire their skins, their flesh, and their offal. Then he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterwards he may come into the camp. This shall be a statute forever for you in the seventh month. On the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether a native of your own country or a stranger who dwells among you. For on that day, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever, and the priest who is anointed and consecrated to minister as priest in his father's place shall make atonement and put on the linen clothes, the holy garments. Then he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tabernacle meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priest and for the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded, and we all call it the Day of Atonement. You know, even to this day, the Jewish religion practices the Day of Atonement. And even we, all of us as Christians, should have a Day of Atonement. Seventh month, tenth day, Day of Atonement. We need to atone for our sins and have a Sabbath, a special day, just to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for all that I've done, all I've thought. Even forgive me for what I may do that I've seen and unseen. You know, we got to ask forgiveness for what we do, because God sees it all, but he wants us to atone for our sins. And as we continue, some life lessons, from this word this morning. And it is this, Leviticus 16:29, you shall afflict your souls. Only on the Day of Atonement was the whole nation of Israel commanded to fast, afflict your souls. Fasting helps us to focus not only on the seriousness of our sin, but even more on the treasure of God's forgiveness. As we are in our Lenten fast, make sure that you just take some time out for God. You know, even if it's just coming and listening in the morning from 7 to 8, take some time for God, because God is wanting us to atone. We as a nation, America, needs a Day of Atonement. We need a day where we should atone for the sins of our forefathers, for our sins, for how we treat each other. America needs a day of prayer, a day of atonement. This nation, the whole entire nation, every man, woman, and child in it, we need to atone. And I tell you, if we did that, just imagine how this nation would come together, united in love. You know, we got to knock out hate and say we are going to love each other. You know, and forgive my language if I offend anyone, but we got to love the hell out of those that persecute us, those that hate us. You got to love somebody. And you will find out love will always trump hate every time. Every time. Love trumps hate. Love will always win over hate. Because God is a God that accepts our atonement. And he forgives us. We got to atone for the sins of so much in this nation. This is a nation built on blood. You know, just on this week, we find out that it really was a conspiracy to kill Malcolm X, that it was a FBI and police conspiracy, and that the murder was planned by the New York Police Department. And that just breaks your heart. But that family needs closure. Again, this man on his deathbed, this police officer, told what happened because he was atoning for his sin in being involved in that conspiracy. You have to really look at everything going on. And this is a word that, you know, we know is today, the Day of Atonement is Yom Kippur. But this is what Dr. Stanley says, the cover-up. Testament uses an interesting word, atonement, in connection with the forgiveness of God. Leviticus tells sinful Hebrews to bring a guilt offering to the priest who shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any one of these things that he may have done in which he trespasses. 6 and 7. It also describes the Day of Atonement, known today as Yom Kippur. God told the Hebrews, on that day, the priest shall make atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. And we are blessed because Jesus did it for us. Jesus took our sins to the cross. And we are blessed. He died and he rose again because he was our offering, our sin offering, our heave offering. He was our absolute everything offering. He gave his life for us, but we still must ask forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Atonement means to cover. It is the same Hebrew word translated to coat in Genesis 6 and 14, where God instructed Noah how to build the ark. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. While the sacrificial system functions adequately for a time, it was temporary in nature. The sins of those living under the Levitical system were covered, but not forgiven in the absolute sense. Why? Because the blood of animals can never pay the whole debt incurred by sinners. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. But it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Hebrews 10, 3 and 4. In God's economy, sin creates a deficit. Whenever sin occurs, something is taken or demanded from the sinner. Ultimately, God required death as payment for sin. So Paul writes, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. And thus death spread to all men because all sinned. We're talking Adam. Romans 5 and 12. So if the penalty for sin is death, then why did God not immediately snuff out the lives of Adam and Eve? Did he not say that on the day they sinned, they would surely die? Genesis 2:17, why does he not do the same for all sinners? Provide a system through which fellowship can be restored if sin ultimately results in death. The answer is simple, yet life-changing. God wants something more than retribution. He desires something more than getting paid back for the disrespect shown him. God wants fellowship with us, and he willingly puts his old system of justice on hold while he made final provisions for the rescue of sinful men and women. And that was the gift of his son. And our proverb and psalm words, Psalms this morning is Psalms 26:6-12. And it says, I will wash my hands in innocence, for I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Oh, I love that word. I'm going to read that again. I will wash my hands in innocence. So I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. Hallelujah. In the congregations, I will bless the Lord. Some believers say, I don't need to go to church. Jesus and I get along just fine on our own. The Bible never endorses such a spirit. It always pictures believers coming together for worship and mutual encouragement. And I say to all believers, you know, the doors of the church should not be closed. But I tell you this, all we do is pray. If you have a guideline by your state, by your government, that says only X number of people can be in, then you say, Lord, please let only X number of people come today as shepherds. And I tell you something, God does just that. If the total is 50, God sends 50. If the total is 100, God sends 100. If the total is 300, God sends 300. Whatever the total is that is legal, you pray about it, and God will send just who needs to be there. But we cannot not come together in Christ. I tell you, the years that I was not in church were rough. Oh, yeah, financially, yeah, we are great. But I tell you something, we were missing so much. We were missing the presence of God in fellowship with other people of faith. And you cannot do that. You just can't do it. I found out the hard way. I don't want anybody to walk in the steps that I walked in when I tuned out Jesus, but I tuned out church. And I realized that church even is very important. It's not the church building, because Jesus is with us wherever we go. Father God is with us wherever we go. The Holy Spirit is with us wherever we go and wherever we are. But we need that community of saints, because I tell you, the more you gather together, the power of God does reign. More prayer, more power. If everybody is praying in one accord, the power of God can move nations. The word is in one accord. But we must engage in fellowship, mutual encouragement. I tell you, I love my church family. I love my church family. And I am grateful every day to have them in my life. God is good. And the word of God in Proverbs 10 and 8 tells us, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. We can't be just, don't get it. We don't need to be foolish. I don't need those hypocrites. I don't need to be in there, because they just do that. Excuse me, big old plank. Quit talking about the specs in somebody's eyes, because I had that big old huge plank hanging out my own eye as I was talking about the specs in somebody else's. I'm just calling it, keeping it real. You know, judging spirit. Who did I think I was that I could talk about everybody in the church and not go because somebody hurt my feelings. Somebody said something I didn't like. I needed to have gotten a thicker skin and ignored it and did what I was supposed to do for God. Even back then, God was telling me to teach Sunday school, and I got my little self in a bunch. And I'm just going to call it. I got my panties in a bunch and decided I wasn't going back to church because they said this, that, and the other, and I was wrong. I call it like it is. I was wrong, and I ask God daily, forgive me for those years that were lost. Because I didn't do what was right. And shame the devil. So many times we want to cover up our stuff. But as again, big plank hanging out of the eye. As I'm talking about somebody else's speck. Gotta do what's right. And the word of God tells us this is our word for this morning. Mark chapter 4 verses 1 through 20. And again he began to teach. And this is Jesus by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him so that he put into a boat. And so he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parable and said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground. And yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Saying it again, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. And he said to them, do you understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? That sower sows the word. And I'm going to say it again. Our title for this morning is this: he who has the word. We are sowing word this morning because it is important. This word is important. It is so important that we hear it, that we know it, and that we understand it. We got to hear, we got to know, and we got to understand. Hear, know, and understand. Knowledge to understand. No, ears to hear, eyes to see, and understanding. We got to hear it, we got to see it, we got to touch it, we got to feel it. This is important. But now let's get an understanding of the word. And it says this: and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. That's those folks that join church and you never see them again. That word just permeated their spirit, and they came and joined the church, and then no soon as they walked out the door did the enemy send somebody to talk about the church. Well, I don't know why you're doing that, church. Girl, this is what I heard. I haven't stepped foot in it, but this is what I heard about that church, and that they this and they that and da-da-da-da-da. Satan swooped in, took it. And then it goes on to say, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Those folks that join the church, come in, all gung-ho to work. I'm here. I'm going to do what I got to do. And then it's kind of fade into the background. And you don't see them anymore. Not because somebody hurt their feelings. Not because anything happened, but because, again, the little sneaky slithering snake came in and said, why are you going there working all hard for that church? They don't pay you. They don't do anything for you. Why don't you just go on back to sleep? You know, this is your only day off. You work all of 6 days. Don't the word of God tell you that on the Sabbath you need to rest? Why don't you go on and turn back over and go back to sleep? Enemy. He ended all the time. And then it goes on to say, afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. They stumble. Things are going a little harder. Things are not what they need to see, what they see. And the next thing you know, they just like, I'm going to rest on Sunday. I ain't got time for all that. They in church every day, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Then we back again. Monday they got Bible study. Tuesday they got choir rehearsal. They got prayer meeting. Wednesday they got midweek service. Thursday they got another midweek service. Friday they try to serve food. Saturday they got some kind of program going on. And then Sunday they got church service. And it seems like we're there all day. And then we back again on Monday. I ain't got time for all of that. We're here. I don't have time. But what you doing? Nothing. You call one, but what you doing? Nothing. But you don't have time for God. Let's keep it going. I'm not talking about nobody else. I'm talking about myself. Because I was one of them people, you know, decided I wasn't going to church. I didn't have time for all that stuff. And all them people. Gung-ho. Then go. And then it goes on to say, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Get sucked up. The enemy loves to throw stuff at you. Girl, you know, I need you to work on Sunday. And, oh, I need some extra money, so I'm going to go on and work on this Sunday. I'll go to church next week. And then the next thing you know, oh, I got to work this Sunday because I need to make some extra money because I get time and a half on Sunday. So I'm going to take this Sunday shift. You know, God knows my heart, you know. And then the next thing you know, you're working on Sunday. And you're forgetting your first love. You got to be careful because money, not money. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. We cannot allow money to become our God. That we will do anything on any day for money, that we will forget about God. All the money in the world is not worth your soul. Because your soul can't take it with you. The four brick walls are going to be here when I'm gone. The car in my garage is going to be here when I'm gone. Praying that the children I have will be here when I'm gone. But the bottom line is, I can't take anything I have with me, not even the clothes on my back. They can't go with me. And then as we continue in our last part of this word, but there are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 34, some 60, and some 100. We got to be like evangelists. We got to get out there. Goodness of the Lord. Talk about Jesus, our Savior. Don't be ashamed to say you are a believer. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. And I'm not ashamed to say it. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Hallelujah. And the word of God in Mark tells us, and these are life lessons from Dr. Stanley. Mark 4:9, which is part of our title. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. God does not force any of us to hear his words or listen to his counsel. He may employ a series of uncomfortable situations to try to get our attention. But whether we choose to hear, entirely up to us. Do you choose to hear today? Are you sowing the word? Are you sowing it? Are you a sower that sows the word? Hallelujah. And our last life lesson, Mark 4:17. When tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. All of us need the help and encouragement of others to grow in our faith and send our roots deep into the soil of God's grace. We cannot endure on our own. We need each other to advance in our faith. And that is our word for this morning. If God is giving you a word, 3943-3197. One more time. I'm sorry, I gave you the wrong number. 213-943-3597. If God has given you something to say on this mighty, mighty word this morning, we're going to sow the word of God. Be a sower. Be a hearer and be a sower. Hallelujah. Again, the call-in number is 213-943-3597. If you would like to speak and God has given you a word, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For we have heard the word. Now it is up to us to sow it. Hallelujah. Sow your word on good ground and watch God work in your life. Again, let us not be like the ones sown on bad ground. We don't want to be sown, you know, be seed that fell by the wayside and the birds of the air came and devoured it. We don't want to fall on stony ground where we don't take root. It says where it did not have much earth and immediately it sprung up. Because it had no depth of earth. We don't want to be that. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. We don't want to wither away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop, ground. And that's us. We want to be on good ground. We want to multiply 30-fold. 60-fold, 100-fold, because we are growing in God. Hallelujah. Growing in the love of Jesus. We are lit up as sons and daughters of God by the Holy Spirit. We are blessed beyond measure. Grateful, thankful, and truly blessed this morning to be a child of God. And a word from our sister in Christ before we get out of here this morning. Good morning. Things have a way of working out. Power of prayer, faith, and love. In the church, we're going to say together, amen, Sister Carolyn. More than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Hallelujah. Woo! What a word this morning from our sister in Christ. Have a triumphant Tuesday. And I'm going to read that one more time. Good morning. things have a way of working out. Never underestimate the power of prayer. I'm believing God for some things today. And I know that I know in my heart through faith. I prayed about it. I have faith. And I know that God loves us enough to grant the desire of our heart. And then it goes on to say, more than anything, never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Hallelujah. And I say today to all of you, as Sister Carolyn has said to me and to all of you, have a triumphant Tuesday, knowing that you are not alone, that our Father God is with you. Wherever you are going, He's got your back. And again, as we have read and listened to, let us, he who hears to hear this word, let him hear the sower sow the word. I'm grateful God has allowed me to sow the word this morning. And I thank evangelists for coming in this morning and praying it, praying us into that space, praying in the Holy Spirit, getting us started. Because y'all know I got a pimp in my step and a praise in my heart, because I know that I know a mighty, mighty God. Father God, I thank you for this word this morning. Let it permeate our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. Lord, let it go into the ear gate that those that hear, hear. And I thank you, Lord God, for the sowers of the word. Let them continue to sow that we may hear and we may know that we are sown on good ground. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray, Father God, and I pray over all those that are listening. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're out and one from each other in the precious and holy name of our Savior, the matchless us from stumbling and falling, Jesus Christ, our Savior. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. For you have heard a word. Hallelujah. I'm just all filled up this morning. Everything was all good. Everything. Leviticus, Psalms, Proverbs, and Mark was all good words that I heard it as I sowed it. And I pray God will bless this word and bless all the hearers and the doers. Be blessed, family. As we say, I'm moving forward. It is a wrap. It's time to go to work, y'all. It's time to go to work. So let's go to work. Love you. Be blessed. And have a great day. Join me tomorrow morning, God willing, 7 a.m., as we continue in the word of God. I love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.